Ezekiel 22, turn there. Last week we talked about two things that was going on in heaven. And when you think about heaven, you think about all kinds of things. And there are all kinds of different things going on in heaven if you read Revelation 4 and 5. An enormous amount of praise, an enormous amount of worship, all kinds of things going on in heaven. But there's two main functions that's happening in heaven. We discussed them last Sunday. Those two main functions are intercession and accusation. Those two things right now reverberates around heaven constantly. They come from two main characters that we have been pawns, if you will, in a strategic war that's been going on between the Lord Jesus and Satan ever since time began. When we get to Revelation 12 and look at it more in-depthly, we'll discover verse 10 that we talked about last week. I'm not asking you to turn there, but in Revelation 12:10, it names Satan as the accuser of the brethren. That is a name given to him. It's interesting if you study names in the Bible. They release all kinds of information about the character of the one that you're studying. Satan's main objective is to accuse you in heaven. I personally believe there's a connection between our emotional stability and the accusations that's going on in heaven. I think that's what's going on to us when we're experiencing certain emotions that are contrary to the Word of God. Let me give you one such emotion. How many of you have ever felt unworthy?
Yep.
Undeserving? How many of you ever felt like you were just wretched and vile and no good? Anybody ever felt that? Can I tell you, those are not God-ordered emotions. Let me give you a truth. A truth is, how many are saved?
Amen.
Let me give you a truth. You are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. With every right, with every benefit that comes with that sonship. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? You hear that truth. But see, here's proof that it takes longer for truth to keep up with your emotions. We still feel unworthy even though we've been made worthy.
Right.
We still feel unacceptable even though it's been declared we are accepted. So what's creating that? It's the accusation from Satan that's going on in heaven that penetrates your physical world, enters your emotional structure, and then begins to affect the manifestation of your life on planet Earth. So accusation is strong. And the other thing that's going on in heaven that we discussed last Sunday was intercession. Jesus' work did not finish, even though we call it the finished work of Christ at the cross. But it's not like that now Jesus is just in heaven doing nothing. No, he ever liveth, Hebrews 7:25 says, to make intercession for you. So when you think about intercession and what's going on, listen, can I tell you, let me give you a word about it, kind of a defining term of intercession. Intercession equals, listen to this, mediation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not meditation,
yeah,
as a lot of people think. It equals mediation. We have a mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus Christ. And he ever lives to make intercession for you.
Praise God. Yes.
So this constant spirit struggle between accusation and intercession fills all of heaven right now. The reason I love Revelation 12 is because, listen to this, there's coming a time when the accuser will never be allowed back in heaven. The effect that has on earth is astronomical. You do a study about that, and it affects the earth to such great degree you can't even hardly comprehend it. Nonetheless, right now you're being accused before God day and night by Satan. In this spirit dynamic that affects planet Earth. Now, I want to call your attention to a familiar verse in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, because it kind of goes along with what we talked about last week with intercession and accusation. Here's what Ezekiel 22, 30 says. Dawn kind of touched on some things that I've been thinking about this week. Ezekiel 22, 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. I've been engrossed in the last couple of weeks because of circumstance with an old friend that's in heaven that I had the privilege and the honor to hear preach at the church that we pastored for years. He came and preached for us, and I got to spend some time with him at the church that he pastored, and a few phone conversations. His name was Peter Lord. Some of you remember Peter. In my opinion, Peter Lord was one of the greatest preachers that has ever lived in my lifetime. I was listening to him this past week preach, and he talked about this gap principle from Ezekiel 22. When I was listening to him, I was thinking a lot about what Dawn touched on, how that God provided through so many different people and their gifts. And they come from all different kind of gifts, and God miraculously put them together. There's been a verse of scripture that's been a kind of a philosophical foundation for me that's helped me relate to others. And here's that biblical principle. It says, "And it pleased God to place us in the body as it pleases him." That's interesting, isn't it? When we were coming up as kids, and Ed and Roger, Debbie, that was like, 1812, something like that, when we were all kids coming up. Somewhere in that time frame, all churches were basically the same. Even across denominational lines, they looked the same. They kind of did the same things. They all had pews. And you walked in and you had these big, huge king chairs sitting on the stage in front of the choir. You know, thrones. That's what they actually became. And so you had the choir loft. Everything looked the same. And it was a certain way even that you dressed to go to church. And it was like a cookie cutter type corporate model for church, for doing church. We humans have that problem. We try in every way to. There's a passage of scripture in Hebrews that I think pinpoints that principle when it said Jesus went outside the camp. But the problem is every time you go outside the camp, you end up instituting another camp out there. And you're constantly having to go outside the camp. Constantly having to go outside the camp. Now, there's a reason why this was on my mind this week. How many of you know that there's only one you in the world? I mean, I got to be honest with you. What started me thinking about this, I was actually praying for Joey and Wendy. And I thought, I was down in Ken's shop, and I was spending time praying and just praying for different ones. And I prayed for Tanya, that lady that was pregnant. I was praying for her. And then I prayed for Matt Weinbar. Yeah, God knows their names. I was going over and some of the ones we started praying for on Friday nights, the prodigals that's been listed, I was praying for them. And I thought about Joey, and when I got to Joey, he just came out. Just the prayer changed. And I said, thank you, Lord, that there's only one Joey Gregg on the earth. The world just couldn't stand two. Would y'all agree with that? Please say amen to the truth. Don't make me preach a long time. I'm tired. I was thinking, God, there's only one Joey Gregg. There's only one like him. Can I tell you, this the short little time I went fishing with Colt Bass, I'm going to tell you, I'm not even sure there is a Colt Bass. I mean, but at the very least, there's only one of him, right? I mean, there's only one Colt Bass. And I mean, you know, if I was in voice, I'd take off on my Colt Bass impression. He just impressed me with the way he conducts himself. Talk. And I'm thinking, there's only one Joe Barrett.
Actually, there's a whole lot of people named that.
Yeah, there are. But there's only one like you.
Yeah.
Now, there's a close second sitting over here behind me. But nonetheless, there's only one Joe Barrett. There's only one you. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And each child that is born is knit together by the hand of God in the mother's womb, because there's only one of them. You're a masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. Grab this. Because of that, each local church is a masterpiece.
Praise God. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
There's only one Grace Place. What happens to humans is we find something that we think works, so we try to pattern everything after that. And we remake something that's already made, and that puts us into a struggle because we're fighting against what God's ultimate design is. Okay. Now, this is what leads me back to this verse of scripture about standing in the gap. How many of you have ever heard that principle before? Standing in the gap. Okay. Let me tell you what a gap is. Everybody say, I'm listening. Here's what a gap is. The gap is the space between what is and what really should be. Do you hear that? Let me say that again. The gap is the space between what is and what really should be. Now, look at that in terms of your individual life, and then let's consider it in terms of our collective gathering here for just a second. While I was praying, I was thinking about how many gaps there are in me. Can I tell you? There's a bunch of gaps in me. And if you get to know me much, that's what you're going to see, is the gaps. Because there's a lot between what is and what should be. Are you hearing me? Everybody say, I'm listening. All right, the long and short of this, real quickly, is there's only one that can really stand in the gap. And it's the mediator, the one that reconciles us to God. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that can fill the gap that's in me. Okay? Y'all following me so far? Everybody look up here, because this is extremely important. When we get to know each other, we are more introduced to each other's gaps than we are the one that fills them. That's what we have a tendency to see. That's what makes us say, you know, I don't know about old so-and-so.
Yeah.
He's not much. You know why we say that? Because we're seeing the gap.
Right.
You got me? And then here's what happens as a result of that. We're plagued relationally with our expectations of others to be without any gaps. So it messes up our relationships with people. Messes up the way we see them. Messes up the way we respond to them. Even the way we pray for them. It messes everything up because it's all based on expectations. And watch, expectations will so set you up to misunderstand and misperceive everything.
Right.
As a result of it, it'll even weaken your faith. Listen to this. Mary and Martha came to Jesus and they were a little upset. And they said, you know what? Our brother died. And we know you have power to heal. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, see, their expectation was of the Lord healing the sick. But God's design was to raise the dead. Y'all didn't hear that. Thank God. I'm wanting you to hear. God wants to do bigger than what we can expect. He even says it that way in the Word. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we're able to ask or think. So the vastness of God is constantly looking for someone to fill the gap. So he gave Jesus to do that. Now, why did he give Jesus to do that? Here's why. Because you're not able to fill the gap. And trust me when I say, if you can't fill the gap in your own life, you certainly can't fill the gap in somebody else's. There's just not enough of you to do it. Watch, you're so filled with holes, how can you fill somebody else's gaps? So here's some things, and I've heard Peter talk about these principles before. I wanted to give them to you. It's very easy to see the gaps in others, which makes it very easy to judge. And because it's so easy for us to judge who are also filled with gaps, it then becomes easy to misjudge. And as you misjudge, you learn that it's impossible for you to fill the gaps. I'm talking about individually and relationally. Y'all following me so far? So watch this. Listen, last Sunday we left here and we did a podcast and Cody was with us. And Cody was talking about this prospect of looking for a church. And so this week I got a little under the weather and I just wasn't able to drive. I spent some time down to shop and I was looking at other churches and I have some circumstances going on in my own world and my own life that caused me to kind of look at some other churches, particularly one on, and I was taken back, and here's why. I had visited this church and been at this church some 30 years ago. And it was intriguing to me to see them now, because now the cookie cutter mentality of us not really being authentic and individualistic enough has created this corporate mentality of, well, it works for them, it should work for us. And so you model your whatever you do spiritually around what works. Can I tell you, that will not work. And it cannot work. And it's not designed to work. Here's why. You are so individually and wonderfully made that God said it takes a personal relationship. Not a relationship built off of somebody else. And here's what that means. That a church is so individualistic and has such a spiritual DNA imprint from the Holy Spirit that it's its own entity. And grab this. This is the most thrilling, this whole deal. Did you know that God is so vast that before he created the heavens and the earth, he looked down through time and saw in 2024 there needs to be this place in Morganton, North Carolina called the Grace Place, because it's only, its existence is going to be for a group of people that's just not going to fit nowhere else. Y'all didn't hear that. See, I say that to you, and it's kind of odd. You could take it as a slam, because here's what that means. You're so weird. And so am I. God has put us together in such a unique way that there is only one expression that can come out of this place, and it shouldn't be like any other expression of any other church. Dear God, did you hear that? Out of all the churches in the world, we have an expression that's unique to us. Oddly enough, not everybody is as weird as we are. You would think they are. And then there's some who are even more weird. I can't imagine there being somebody weirder than Joey Gregg and Colt Bass. I can't imagine that. But there are. And you know what? God has places designed and set up just for them, so that the gaps in their life can be filled. See, the only way we can truly help each other stand in the gap is to recognize that them gaps are only there for a temporary period of time.
Amen, Jeff.
Dear God.
Yes.
You're looking at an imperfect Jeff. But wait till you get a picture of the perfect Jeff.
Why, he'll look like Jesus.
I will have long, flowing brown locks. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we'll see him as he is. The other Friday night, we did this teaching on dimensionality, and that's what that was based off of. But grab a hold of this. There's gaps in you. There's gaps in me. There's even gaps in this church. But for the love of God, let's don't try to be like every other church out there. See, watch. Back in our day growing up, you had to have the choir loft, the organ on one side, the piano on the other side. Matter of fact, if you walked in and the organ and the piano switched sides, it throws you off. All the trappings had to be just right. So what we did is we broke away from that and we said, you know what, let's don't be traditional. Let's come as you are, and let's just be free. And so we freed up. Now we've made a religion around freed up. And now all the freed up looks the same. It sounds the same. It feels the same. I guess there is something that works in me that says, I don't want to be the same. Dear God, there's enough of that out there. Can't we have a little bit of a different expression?
Yes.
Say amen to that. Amen. One more thing and I'm done. In that cookie cutter world, it creates these gaps. And here's what I fear happens to a lot of people. And I'm just telling you this as somebody that's been going to church now for, 60 years. And I can tell you this. We make a mistake by not carrying with us the heritage of our past. that goes into the expression of our present and prepares us for the destiny of our future. I warn you of that. God was very significant in the Old Testament with Israel saying this, build an altar right here and set up waymarks. Don't forget this spot. Don't forget what I did right here. We throw away things for the sake of something new. And if you're throwing away something for the sake of something new, you're throwing away precious gifts from God. I'll get the lyrics wrong, but Joe Barrett's big on, he'll quote lyrics of the song. Let me give you a lyric that just thrilled me this morning as I was coming to church. Help me with the lyrics of this. I've heard of a land on a faraway strand.
Yeah.
What's the next line? I've heard of a land on a faraway strand. It's a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Chorus is simple. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. Something so simple, yet so profound, was breathed out as an expression from God to His people to help fill the gap. Don't throw away the gifts that's filling the gap in your life. That's just part of the teaching. The connection is, that's why accusations is being made. It's about your gaps. If you want to know what Jesus is mediating about, it's to fill your gaps. So here's my prayer and I'm done here. Father, fill the gaps in our lives. Help us to trust you to fill those gaps. Here we are as the Grace Place. I love this church, Lord. Dear heaven, you have opened up over this place. And Lord, I'm so thankful of what our pastor did at the beginning, because this past Wednesday night, we called people's names out in prayer and we heard the report of answers to prayer. So we cannot... Oh, dear God, we cannot take for granted these answers to prayer. Our Friday night meetings, seeing answers to prayer. Oh, to ask, Lord, what are you doing? It's so vast, we can't plug into it. Here's the thing that I do know. I'm asking you to fill the gaps in this church. Bring in the skilled laborers to complete the work, the tapestry of what the Grace Place is to be.
Yes, you know who they are.
And Lord, can I just say, we might even be living right now as a church in that gap, in that space between what is and what ought to be. But I do know this, he that hath begun a good work will finish it. So complete within us, and as a church, complete that work. Fill the gaps as only you can, and we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.